This is Desiree Scales with High Velocity Radio on Business Radio X. I feel like something's missing, Kevin.
I know. Where's Sander?
Sander is working. Yes, he's flying around the country and doing his job.
That is awesome, though. I like that he's getting out there and he's working hard, and he's been really excited about it.
I know. Seeing that he just started the business this last year, so yeah. But definitely. I miss him. Sander, we miss you, but it's okay.
We know you're listening right now because you're so committed. So.
Exactly. But Desiree and Kevin will carry on.
Definitely. We'll survive.
Yeah. So we've got a very eclectic mix of people today on the show. Very excited. These are all people that I know and love, and very, very excited to get the show started. And we've got James Ball from TrustWorks, and he's a friend of mine. And he's from up north Georgia, where I'm from. And we've got John Kirk, CEO coaching, and he helps companies drive success. And we've got Samantha Bennett. She's a newly minted author of a book, Get It Done from Procrastination to Creative Genius in 15 Minutes a Day. So we've got a lot of really good stuff coming up today. So we're going to start with my friend James Ball. How are you?
Doing good, Desiree.
Yeah. I know you've got a lot going on with TrustWorks these days. And let's talk about your company a little bit. Tell us what TrustWorks does and what you guys do.
Well, TrustWorks is a company that manages the entire web presence for small businesses.
Okay.
And when I say manages, I mean physically human beings managing the web presence. We build new websites for our clients. We put people on WordPress as opposed to whatever they've been on for the past 5 or 10 years. So it's a better content management system. We tend to get them better results in search engines just because of the SEO value there.
Yeah.
We manage their social media, all of their SEO, search engine optimization, and essentially we do what they would do for themselves if they knew how and could and had the time.
Right. So I've known you for quite a while. I know you, you know, from the HelloNorthGeorgia.com days and the magazine publishing. How did you end up landing in digital marketing?
I went to art school to become a graphic designer to do commercial art, and mm-hmm. I've always done that. I ended up, you know, taking a left turn into tattooing for 21 years.
Right.
From the business side, I owned and operated, you know, tattoo parlors all across the country, and then a couple of supply houses that eventually went .com and eBay and did really well with that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that success, I just kind of translated that over, learned how to do graphic design on Photoshop instead of a big board, and have been involved with small businesses. It's my passion, small businesses, trying to help them out. So it started from the creative artistic part, and then it got into the monetization of the web. So I sort of just evolved into this.
Yeah. Are you still doing the creative work?
I still do it when I can.
Yeah.
We have creative staff now, so
yeah.
I don't get to do it often, but mm-hmm. I dabble when I'm able.
So what is your role over at TrustWorks?
I'm the founder. I guess this is my brainchild, mm-hmm. and I guess my title at this point is CMO. I've recently given the operations, the COO title, to my partner, Kevin Eckmark, who's more administrative and corporate-minded than myself as we grow and scale.
Yeah.
The size of the company doubled last year, the beginning of last year,
wow.
quickly in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And we expect it to double again this year.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you. The Hello North Georgia, that was short-lived. That was a company I built. I owned it for 2 years, and then it got bought out from my local media company up in North Georgia.
Right.
I started to work for a magazine company. We produce hyperlocal community magazines mm-hmm. Around the northern burbs of Atlanta, and mm-hmm. I was hired on as the digital marketing director.
Mm-hmm.
And we just knew that someday we'd have to hang a new shingle and be able to offer the people, you know, that were in our magazines what we had done for ourselves. So that's how it started.
Well, you're like a serial entrepreneur. You know,
correct.
You enjoy being an entrepreneur. Tell us more about what being an entrepreneur means to you.
Well, for me, I'm unemployable. So
right. I like
it was a matter of circumstance, and it's a long story. I won't get into it. I'm a little bit too eclectic. I'm a little bit too strange. TrustWorks success probably only comes from I hand chose the people that were smarter than me, brighter than me, had better experience than me, and were willing to tolerate me. So as a visionary, I guess I get to be eclectic. I get to maintain that vision, and they put up with me.
I love that.
Well, it's a fact. I mean, I have different countercultural visions and views. We opted to go a route that nobody else will go. I stand in lines at conventions all the time, and people say, who do you deal with? What's your client base? And I tell them small business. there's a lot of hair on small business. There's no money in small business for most people's perspective. Too much hand-holding, not enough money, this kind of thing. We chose to hedge on the human side of that. We have the capability and we have the design and development staff to be able to go into technology, into software, or to automation, or to dashboards for small businesses, which would scale infinitely, much more quickly anyway. We decided that somebody needed to close the technology loop for small business, that everybody's stuck in a technology loop. We're all using, you know, old and outdated computers, old and outdated technology on our servers. You know, we're all on Word 2003 with... somebody had to be the actual human beings to close that technology loop for small business, and I decided to hedge on the side of humans, even though that scale's a little bit sloppier. I have a bigger staff than, you know, most people do, and it's one-on-one human interface, and we figured somebody had to be the manpower of digital marketing for the small business world, and we're in line.
Well, it's interesting because I posted something on my LinkedIn yesterday, and it was, it's not about B2B, it's not about B2C, it's about H to H, human to human. Talk about how what that means to you.
Well, the relationships that we have with our clients, we had two things when we first started the company. We knew we wanted to be a very personal relationship type company. We knew we had to be affordable for, you know, every brick and mortar on Main Street and everywhere USA. There's, you know, 27 million small businesses in this country. Nobody's dealing with them on a human-to-human basis. Everybody's trying to push software and dashboards and automation, and that's all fine. We use that technology to be able to serve our clients. But as far as our clients, you can't talk to them about learning a new dashboard. And their eyes roll back in their head. They need somebody to call them once a week, to hold their hands, to help them negotiate. All of the things that are trying to be pushed down their throat and sold to them, they need a personal consultant. So we invented what we call the web op, and that's short for web operative. I only allow them to have 16 clients, so that's why the 1/16th is in my logo. That's a foundational tenet that we will not change, because there's so much human interaction. That's already a 50 to 60 hour work week. The interaction with the clients, and they all have a skill set they bring to bear. They all have marketing and business backgrounds, and they're very passionate about small business. And I mean, I hire based on personality characteristics and traits, so that there's the right amount of empathy there to be able to pull this off.
And let's talk about that. What is that empathy? Talk about that in your culture.
Well, in my culture, I've handpicked everybody. You know, we pass over 20 people to hire one new web operative. The passion for small business has to be there. Most of them are freelancers or corporate dropouts that decided being, you know, a cog in a machine wasn't for them. They wanted to feel and see the results of their work, and they wanted to have more one-on-one interaction. So we're all a little bit type A. We're all a little bit OCD. It's unfair of me to some extent, because I hire people who I know I don't have to pay extra to stay up at night to worry about clients. If anybody in their portfolio is out of whack or not happy, these people will not rest until it's done. But that's their personality. That's not their resume. They need the skill sets, but I've always known that I could teach the skill sets, but I couldn't take and make someone passionate about small business or give them empathy. The empathy part, when we talk to our clients as often as we do and we become a part of their business, we're a fractional human asset, so they're getting a better price point, and they're not having to take on the payroll or the liabilities of having a new employee. And we are their go-to for everything marketing.
That's great. So let's talk about, you and I see this a lot, I think, in small business. There's a lot of fear around technology. I think, you know, because there's just so much changing so quickly, and people just can't keep up. How do you help people get over that fear and embrace the technology?
Okay, well, let me go back a couple of years, and you know I've been a consultant to small business, and have been for nearly a decade with some of this stuff. 100% of my clients, within 6 months to a year after I consult with them, whether it's 6 weeks, 6 months, whatever it was I can impart on them, you know, looking in the rear view, 100% would crash and burn. That doesn't build happy clients. That doesn't build a successful model for me. And I began to realize I might need to change my spots. I always felt that, you know, especially with the buzzword social media when that landed. Everybody could be more transparent and authentic by being themselves online than anybody else could do. That's what I believed, and that's what I taught. They could sit in my lap. I could sit in theirs for 6 months, and I would hand it over to them. It's not that they lost sight, lost vision. It's the fact that they couldn't stay plugged in to the pace with which all this changes. Too much technology. Again, there's a technology loop that you can't keep up with. It takes me 18 hours a day to do what I do, and I can't imagine trying to do this and build some level of experience in greatness in a company by being on the ground at my tanning salon or my skating rink or whatever it is that that they do.
Right.
So we're the people that watch the fort.
Mm-hmm.
We see what's coming down the pike. We keep them ahead of the curve and ahead of their competitors. And we keep their best interests at heart. I mean, we do what's in their best interest for them.
Yeah.
So the trust is there. That's kind of why we named the company TrustWorks.
TrustWorks. Yeah, exactly.
And strangely enough, Chris Brogan from back in the day, Trust Agents, the spirit of that book moved me when it came out. Knowing Chris personally has moved me over the years.
Yeah.
Love who he is. And we actually came just shy of memorializing being TrustWorks Incorporated.
Gotcha.
He had no time to come out and sit in my lap and make sure that we were going to, you know, be true to everybody named in the book, the partner that wrote the book with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost had that. So we went with TrustWorks instead.
Okay. Got it. Interesting. So at the end of the day, how do you know that you've done your job? What's a good indicator that, yes, my work here is done for the day?
Well, with digital marketing, we take people from 0 to 60, meaning these are people who cannot be found. These are small mom and pops that are competing with the big boys or competing with people who have marketing departments or slightly larger companies within their realm.
Right.
We claim to make them the person for what they do in their market. Landing them, I mean, I can't promise first page results, but I mean, you know, 30, 60, 90 days in with a client, we've taken them from nowhere to somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The phone rings, the door swings, they're very happy. So
right.
The results that we get and the client's perception of those results, is success for it. I mean, they sign on, we have nearly 100% retention, and in some verticals we have 100% retention.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to dollars. I mean, there's a return.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a return. They see the benefit. We make sure that we clearly articulate what we're doing and how we're doing it and what those results look like.
Right.
In a very human way. We don't give them spreadsheets, and we just tell them.
Exactly. So what about the future? What's happening in the near future for you, or where can people find you and all of that?
Well, you can find me always, TrustWorks.com.
I mean,
we're there, and people that go will notice that it's very roller skating centric. Somehow, some way, we started doing a couple of roller skating rinks and that mushroomed.
Yeah.
I never wanted to grow up to be the prince of digital marketing for the roller skating industry. Never saw that coming, but
right.
it's just odd enough.
It's a great vertical.
It's just odd enough that I believe that it's going to be successful for us as a company.
It's perfect for you, James.
So, I'm taking the whole company actually down to our local Sparkles tomorrow for a 4-hour roller skating romp. And I've actually got the owner coming in to give us some behind-the-scenes insight, because everybody that is employed at TrustWorks, they all have at least one or more skating clients. Some of them have nothing but.
Wow.
And
I can't roller skate. I can't even ice skate.
I'm going to find out who in my company can't tomorrow as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, thank you for sharing your story with us today. Really appreciate that. And good luck with everything in the future.
Thanks, Desiree. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so we've got John Kirk with us, and John is a client of ours at Bella Web Design, and he's the leading authority in global business management, has a very broad spectrum of experience with corporate strategy, CEO coaching. Welcome to
thank you very much.
Our show. I'm so glad to have you. So
that's great to be here.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you read that, because I tried to write that really, really well and sound fantastic. So.
It sounds great. It sounds good. So talk about global management advisory. What exactly is that, John?
Yeah, we like to say we actually go into companies and find hidden profits. And what that really means is we will take an operation, and we'll look at the processes, we'll look at everything they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can generally close your eyes and find money in a corporation. For example, there was a large international airline that we worked with for several years.
Right.
One of the small processes that we looked at was comment cards. You know, when you're on a plane and you fill out a comment card and you send it in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all excited when they get these cards and they enter the information in the computer.
Yeah.
But then they scan the card and store that. And then they take the card and they file it.
Oh, my.
So you had an operation that had a 3-month backlog. They were asking for more resources.
Wow.
We came in and just asked a question. Why are you doing all of that?
Right.
And they said, because we've always done it. So we cut that out.
Right.
The good news with that operation, we saved tens of millions of dollars overall in that company. So we go in and we find those opportunities. And that's what we do.
That's great. So what who's your client? Is it middle, you know, size? Is it large? Is it a broad base?
It's really a broad base. We do a lot of Fortune 500s.
Right.
But the same token, the small to medium group, which is always sort of a fuzzy area to define.
Right.
We work with folks that are maybe 50 million, 100 million, 200 million in sales. But the other thing that we like to do is work with entrepreneurs when they're starting out, so they don't make some of those mistakes when they get larger.
Right.
You get to a certain point, and well, speaking of technology, and someone says, wow, we need XYZ system.
Right.
Well, do you really?
So
you're trying to help them not make those mistakes in advance. So,
yeah.
However, the bread and butter is really the Fortune 500.
I see a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, you know, they'll try things because it's a trend, or they see their competitors doing it. And that's just not necessarily something they need to do. So it's quite interesting that you talk about that.
Right.
So
The other thing that we really, really try to do in corporations as well as with individuals, we do what's called go in and ask them their purpose. So let me give you an example. I'll go back to the same airline.
Yeah.
And so I was talking with the CEO, and I had about 5 minutes, and that was it. Hopefully I had 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I asked the question, well, what's your purpose? What do you do? And he sort of looked at me and said, well, we take people and product from point A to point B.
Right.
So I said, so if you're doing things that does not directly relate to that and you're spending money on it, why?
Right.
So we try to get corporations as well as entrepreneurs to understand what is their passion, what's their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Once you can define that, then you can also help them spend the money, put the people toward actually being the best of that passion and that purpose. And then the stuff that they're not good at, which somebody else probably is, we either will outsource it, we will put together shared service centers, or we'll simply cut out some of the processes. So the real key, I think, that we offer, not only the, I guess, the productivity savings and all of that, is try to help them get reconnected with why they're in business to begin with.
So I'm going to look at the other side of that coin. Do you also have them look at who their customer is and really dive deeply into that?
We do.
Okay.
We find a lot of, let's say, old war stories and misconceptions about their customer.
Yeah.
Had a project last year in town with a company, which actually resulted in about $9 million in savings. And we were consolidating operations from many, many locations into two locations, one in the West Coast and one in the East Coast.
Gotcha.
And these were back office types of processes. So the first thing we encountered was, oh, our clients are going to hate that.
Right.
Because they always want to call in and talk to George or Sally or whoever.
Uh-huh.
And if you move all this stuff, they're going to hate it and they're going to go shop someplace else. Well, that didn't happen. So we do spend time out with our customers' customers. Because part of what we do is help them understand the voice of the customer.
Right.
And if we can do that, they can service their customer better. Plus, the types of changes we make will in fact service that market.
Yeah.
So we try to do that. And it's, you know, we run across situations where they really don't understand their customers.
Yeah.
I had a second airline. I'm not just doing airlines.
I know. But it's funny that you bring up airlines because, you know, I worked for two major airlines.
it was not the one you worked for.
No, okay.
I'm just kidding. They had a new customer officer in the company.
Right.
And so he was sort of struggling with what he wanted to do. And we said, let's just do a day in the life of a customer. So myself and my team took their executives, set them in a room. They had telephones in front of them. And we said, okay, we're going to start with reservations. So pick up the phone and make a reservation. And they sort of looked at one another like, we don't do that. We have people that do that. So they did. They picked up the phone and they were on hold and went through that process. And and so then we loaded them up in a bus, went to the local airport, had them check in, go through the whole thing.
That's great.
And then when we got back, we said, okay, your luggage was lost, so you need to call and find out what happened.
Right.
And that whole process,
there was
just all kinds of eyes around the table going, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then we shared best practices with other airlines that that are around the world.
Right.
And so that understanding, I think, helped them because they were isolated.
Absolutely. Right? I think the executives get isolated, even in small businesses. And
they
for
do.
Them to experience their own company, what a wonderful idea that was.
But we didn't ask the big question, are you going to fly your airlines
yeah,
again?
Yeah, that's
no,
right.
We
did they get a comment card at the end of the day that they had to fill out?
Yeah, but it was backlogged, so we couldn't
oh,
do
well.
Anything.
So. There you yeah. go. That's great. So you focus on business outcomes. What does that mean exactly?
Right. We see processes all the time that are there for process sake. We see processes that are there because a company says we have a policy. You must follow A, B, C, D.
Right, right.
We look at the outcome. Is it going to deliver something on the bottom line? Is it going to bring in customers? Is it going to improve customer service? Is there a business outcome that will result? Or are you just doing stuff because your company said do stuff? And we find a lot of that.
I bet.
A lot of that non-value types of things. So if you understand your purpose, you understand the passion of the organization, it's much easier day to day to look at what you're doing and saying, yes, what I'm doing is contributing to that purpose, contributing to that passion, contributing to sales. So if it's not doing that, then you need to raise your hand and say, well, maybe we need to change what we're doing, the way we're doing things.
Right. So why do you think some companies go down that path where they're just wasting time? Do you think somebody is just trying to keep their job and coming up with new ideas? Oh, this will work, you know. Well, what do you think causes that?
I guess, a lot of different situations. But one is, you find people doing things to cover themselves.
Yeah.
You find people doing things that they think is a great idea, which is good. And by the way, let me back up and say that almost everybody we encounter really, really want to do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But things get in their way.
Right.
Company cultures. I had dinner with a friend last night, and we were talking about his company and his future and things. And I was interviewing him for this book I'm writing, and it's on motivation. And the comment he made was, well, I've got 5 years left, so I'm just waiting for 5 years. And so there was a person that had been motivated for 30-some years to do things.
Yeah.
And I said, why? Why are you not just charging? Because you've done this all your life.
Right.
And he goes, well, because no one really cares.
Oh, my.
So a lot of times a culture will evolve into people not doing the right things. For example, and I don't want to pick on our hockey teams, which I love them.
Okay.
But if you saw the ladies' game, got ahead, and you see this on Sundays and Saturdays, we're playing not to lose. Well, you're not going to win if you play not to lose.
Yeah.
And so I see people who play not to lose.
Yeah.
I was a partner at KPMG, and I saw a lot of partners who were playing to keep what they had or the next thing, not playing to improve the whole process or improve the company.
Right.
So there's a lot of different reasons it happens, and then people get disheartened, and they don't produce.
So you talk about SMAC, which is Social Mobile Analytics and Cloud.
Yeah.
How does that fit into your strategy?
Well, I just encountered that.
Okay.
So I'm trying to learn all the details myself.
Yeah.
However,
what does it mean to you?
Well, this is what it means to me, and this is what I'm seeing large business going to. They finally realized that this whole world of apps and mobility and things are out there. And they're saying, gosh, what do we do?
Right.
There's a CIO that I'm aware of who she said, you know, I'm going all cloud. I'm getting rid of the ERPs and the whatever the world because my client base is telling me I want this ability to move around. I want this iPad. I want this whatever.
Right.
And the only way that they can actually deliver on her charter is I'm going all cloud. So what it means to me and what it means to my colleagues, and I was in a conference down in Florida last week, is they have to understand it. They have to understand how it all comes together. And they also have to understand how to use the analytics, which is called big data.
Right.
I mean, for example, this was in Disney World. So when I show up, they give me a little wristband. And the wristband then opens my room, I use it at the restaurant.
Yeah.
I use it at, you know, wherever I go. Automatically, Disney understands that I'm there for a convention. Where did I spend my money? Where did I spend my time?
Scary, isn't it?
As long as they don't tell anybody,
yeah,
then I'm okay.
Well.
But and then if you take that with, let's say, Wi-Fi connection, they basically know every step.
They do. Yeah.
But the analytics is how much did these convention people spend per head, per whatever.
And how can we get them to spend more?
And how can we get them to spend more? That's exactly it. Did they know that they should really get outside of the hotel and spend some money over at Treasure Island or wherever it happens to be? Mm-hmm. So to me, it's taking all of that and bringing it together. I mean, for example, you've got Google Glasses. You know, you can surf the internet. Well, the one thing we haven't thought about is, well, if you're driving and surfing the internet, is that like texting? Or what's going to happen?
Insurance companies are having a field day
with
that,
crazy.
Right? What do they do?
Right. But if I have that capability, then all of a sudden I become the device.
Yeah.
With all of these tools.
Yeah.
And business needs to understand that, because the old days of the large systems and things like that is going quickly.
Yeah.
Going quickly. So to me, it's the integration of all those pieces.
Yeah.
So
especially mobile.
Mobile
is huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all going that way.
So I don't like the acronym. You know, there's always an acronym.
Yeah.
This one's SMAC.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't like that. We should come up with something
else. Mobile, analytics, and cloud.
Yeah.
Talk about the social piece. How is that affecting business?
Well, as an entrepreneur, you've got to be connected on the social side. And it helps, though, because, you know, part of values with any business is community. So with a Facebook or a LinkedIn or whatever you're using, if you're reaching out to the community and sharing, that's a good thing. So to me, I have to be connected. I don't care if my client is in London or wherever. I've got to be connected. They have to see what I'm doing. I need to share with my clients the latest things that I'm seeing. So social is very important.
Right.
And obviously the mobile, since I'm traveling all over the place, is critical. The big data, I've done some of that, but I see corporations that have to really get into it. And if you think about the amount of data that's going to be out there with all these devices, I think by 2020, there's going to be like another 100 billion or people on the internet.
Yeah.
Data is going to triple, actually 50 times. I think it's 50x the amount of data that's going to be out there. Yeah. You know, and we're not talking about NSA and stuff. We're just talking about corporations' data.
Right.
So it's important to be able to, I guess, stay connected, but also be able to analyze all that information, but then use it properly.
Right.
So the next time I go to Disney, I'm sure I'll get a little packet that says, John, you should go to Treasure Island,
right,
or you should go wherever.
Right.
So I think it's important that actually companies move forward and embrace that whole, you know, smack thing.
Yeah.
So
talk about doing the right things every time. I know that's one of your mantras.
Yeah. When we go in and we look at the purpose and the passion.
Right.
The next thing is the values.
Mm-hmm.
If you take those three things, that's really your core. And part of the values, and I was doing a session with a gold mining company out in California, which was interesting in itself. But I had
a lot of history in that, right?
A lot of history.
Wow.
And I had the executives in the room, and we were talking about values. And the CEO was sitting there, and everyone was like, okay, looking at the CEO. But he started engaging, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the individuals that was a plant supervisor said, well, to me, our value is we do the right things every time. So I remember that.
Yeah.
To me, that is a fantastic way of saying, what are your values in a company or as an individual? If I do the right things every time,
right,
I've got to be pretty close.
Yeah.
So that ties into the values.
That's great. So talk about the future of your company. Where are you going with it?
Well,
what's happening?
It's interesting because the company is virtual.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bricks and mortars many years ago, and I went virtual.
And we helped put that together, I may add. Bella Web Design,
together.
Got to throw that out there.
Very good.
Thank you.
So virtual means that I have approximately 20 other consultants around the world that I've worked with for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the engagement, I will pull people in and we'll put a team together and that type of thing.
Right.
From a financial standpoint, it's great because I don't have all the overhead.
Absolutely.
So where we're going is moving more and more into the arena of behavior.
Okay.
For example, the book I mentioned, it's called Bring Your Best Game. And we're looking at individuals' behavior and motivation and how can companies do a better job of motivating the folks so that they, in fact, are the ones that look at the processes and look at what's going on and innovate
okay. And
do that continuous improvement. So that's the next area that we're really moving into. We do hit it a lot when we're out there,
yeah. But
why not put together the methodologies and things that folks can use? So that's the next arena.
When is your book coming out?
Well, knock on wood.
Yeah.
yeah, hopefully before Christmas.
Good. Well, I look forward to it. And yeah. When it comes out, will you be back with us?
Well, of course.
To talk about it?
Of course.
It? Wonderful.
I'll read some good stories out of it.
That's good. And sure. And where can we find you online?
The website is JPPLLC. Now, what that means is J. Philip Partners, LLC.
Right.com.
.com. I forgot. .com.
Don't forget the .com.
.com. Yep, that's it.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, John. It was great. Lots of good stuff and good information to share. So thank you. So we go from one author to another burgeoning author, my friend Sam Bennett, and she is from Carpinteria. Did I say it right? California? Is it sunny and beachy and beautiful there, Sam?
It is sunny and beachy and beautiful here. I hate to rub it in, but it's true.
Well, that's going to be great because I get to go out there tomorrow to play and do some business. So I'll be out in your neck of the woods.
Yay.
I'm excited about that. But Sam is the creator of the OrganizedArtistCompany.com, and she's helping creative people get unstuck from what they're stuck in and helping them focus and move forward in their goals. And boy, oh boy, there's a lot of us out there that do get stuck in the minutia. So this is a great conversation. And your new book, Get It Done from Procrastination. I can't say that word. Get It Done from Procrastination to Creative Genius in 15 Minutes a Day from New World Library. That is out, and you're doing the tour right now, the book tour, right?
I am. Although, like everything and like we've been talking about, it's really more of a virtual book tour than than an actual me showing up places.
Gotcha.
But it's been great. The response has been amazing. It's really exciting.
So talk about procrastination. There, I said it, and it came out beautifully. Talk about
this
that.
Came out how did, beautifully.
How does that slow us down, us creative types? James, do you struggle with it?
All the time.
Yeah, see? Okay.
Yeah. Procrastination, procrastination hurts. That's the thing. Procrastination mm-hmm. hurts. It hurts your heart. It hurts your self-esteem. It hurts your relationships. And it hurts your bottom line. It hurts your income. I mean, for creatives and certainly for entrepreneurs and small business people, not moving forward on the projects that you know would make a big difference to you and your business and your life, it's costing you. I mean, you're leaving many times tens of thousands of dollars on the table because you're not getting the book out there. You're not following up on that phone call. You're not pursuing that opportunity. You're not educating yourself and keeping yourself up on top of, best practices and latest trends. You're not following your heart and connecting with your passion.
So do you think that people who procrastinate are so caught up in the perfectionist part of them that they just they don't put it out there because it's not perfect?
I hear that a lot.
Okay.
I hear that a lot. It's funny, too, because perfectionism, one of the traps, I think, of perfectionism is that it sounds almost like a virtue.
Yeah, you're right.
I would, except, for my damned high standards,
Right.
And what I say to people all the time is, get a C. Get a C. C is the grade that you get for showing up and doing the work. And not doing the work better than everybody else and not doing any extra credit work or anything fancy. Just show up and do the work. And I can feel all the little apple polishers out there like breaking out into hives.
Yeah.
No, I have to get an A.
Right.
But here's the thing. Chances are your version of a C is probably everybody else's version of an A.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great point.
And second of all, you know, if you get it out there and it really does need to be made more perfect, then you will make it more perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you send everybody the 2.0 version, you know, director's cut, doing it again, here we go.
Right, exactly.
It's not the end of the world.
So how did you start working in this field? Tell us a little bit about how this all came about for you.
Yeah, well, it's all based on my own background as an artist and a creative person. I'm an actor and writer and teacher and always have been, even as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got really interested in, you know, how do we stay motivated when there's no quarterly review on how your novel's going? You know, when there's nobody checking in to ask you about your cabaret act or your one-person show or your watercolors or you know, clearing out the spare room, whatever it is that's on your heart to do. How do you decide what to do? How do you stay motivated when you lose motivation? How do you how do you figure out what's really going to have a return on investment for you when there's no rules? You know, there's no the way. There's no right way to be an artist. The same way that there's no right way to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You've got to do it your way. And I would read, and I buy books and buy books and buy books, and there's so many great business books out there about how to manage your time and set priorities and all that. But, you know, creative people don't care who's moved their cheese.
Right.
And then there are all kinds of great creativity books out there. But many of them are about spiritual healing through creativity or unleashing your inner artist. And for those of us whose inner artist is already plenty outer, thank you very much, you know, how do we manage? How do we do? So that's where the book came from. It was the book I kept trying to buy, and I couldn't find it. So I finally had to write it.
I love that. And that's where a lot of great ideas come from, you know, trying to create something that you have been looking for yourself. And I love that. I love that philosophy and the fact that you were brave enough to do it. You know, and let's talk about bravery. You know, how much does this involve being brave enough to show your stuff out there? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think the bravery issue is huge. And I think that it is not to be underestimated. You know, the ways in which you will try and keep yourself small, the ways in which you will try and talk yourself out of doing things, so it's important that you use every trick in the book. You know, you can try and distract yourself. You can tell yourself it's not that big a deal. You can, you know, say, oh, I'm just, you know, tell your subconscious, you know, I'm just experimenting with this. I'm not really writing a novel. I'm just kind of playing around. Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes you can sort of go in the side door. I think it's also really important that you get the cheerleaders in your life on your side, the people who really love you and really care about your work. And let me add, these people are probably not your family and friends.
That's a great point. Yep, absolutely.
You know, your family and friends love you, but they don't know what you do.
Right. They're worried
they
about
understand.
You. Are you making
they
enough
think
money? Yeah, right.
Yeah, they think you're crazy.
You're not going to make money from that. Really? Get a job.
Exactly. Exactly.
We've all heard it, right?
We've all heard it. So find the people that you really love and respect, that you think are great and who are better at what you do than you are, and get in relationship with them and let them inspire you. Let them hold you accountable. Get a coach, you know, get a mentor, get somebody who will hold you to a higher standard. And if nothing else, bully you into getting your work out there.
I love that. So talk about one of your strategies, the 15-minute-a-day strategy. How does that work?
I got to tell you, Desiree, you know, the clients and customers and students I have who employ this strategy see unbelievable, jaw-dropping, nearly miraculous results.
I'm in. Tell me.
Yeah, and the clients and students and, you know, and customers I have who do not employ this strategy, some have miraculous results and some don't.
Okay.
So here's the plan. 15 minutes a day on the projects that matter most to you, before you check your email, before you check your email, 15 minutes a day. And the thing here is that, first of all, that's one way to get right past that perfectionism,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, you know, how perfect is it going to be in 15 minutes, right?
Right.
And it's astonishing how much work a person can actually get done in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You sort of feel like it wouldn't work, but it kind of does.
Right.
And especially 15 minutes every day for a day, you know, for a week, a month, a year, 6 years. You know, and intellectually, we sort of get it. We feel like, oh, sure, if I practiced guitar every day for 15 minutes a day, I'm sure I would get better eventually. Or if I did yoga every morning for 15 minutes, I would have a stronger core. Like, I can sort of see how that would work. But then people always feel like, but that wouldn't work for me.
Hmm.
Like, that wouldn't work for my project, Sam. That wouldn't work for me. And I'm here to tell you, I bet it will. I bet it will. Try it. And the first thing I would do is make a list of 15-minute tasks. So that you don't have to think of something every single time. You can just show up and pick one. Because some mornings you're going to wake up and be like, oh, I am bad today. I'm bad. I'm going to call that literary agent. I'm going to follow up on that opportunity. I'm going to, you know, like, I'm going to enter that poetry competition because I'm bad. And then other times you're going to wake up and be like, I'm shy. I don't want to talk to anybody today. Or you're not going to feel well. You know, so you want to have stuff on your list that will accommodate your moods.
Gotcha.
Because you're going to have
that.
Moods.
Yeah. Depending on where you're at, you know, mentally, that's great. Great advice. Because I think a lot of artists are introverts by nature.
For sure.
Depending on what they do. Of course, I think actors are a little bit different. But, if you're a painter or a writer. So, yeah, it does depend on the mood of the day, what you're willing to take on for that 15 minutes. So,
but to make sure that no matter what your mood, you're still working and you're still moving forward.
Right, exactly.
And I think that, actually, it's funny. I think it's a common misconception that performers are you know, ego freaks,
okay.
you know, that they're
okay.
big extroverts.
Yeah.
Most of the performers I know, most of the actors I know, including me, were actually very shy.
Wow.
We're gregarious loners.
Yeah, interesting. All right, so talk about unusual marketing for creative people. How do creative people get their stuff out there when the world is loaded with stuff? Loaded with books, loaded with paintings, you know? There's an actor on every corner, you know, it seems sometimes. How do we get that out there? What kind of techniques are you looking at?
You know, I have a passion. I have a secret passion for helping creative people make money off their creativity. And again, the answer is there isn't a the way. It's just like the book Get It Done. It's not like I've got some incredible strategy and everybody should just do things my way.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got some incredible ways for you to figure out what your way is.
Right.
So the way to get your work out there is your way. So if you are shy and retiring and old-fashioned and quiet, you might want to consider writing, you know, sending handwritten notes to the people that you want to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on lovely stationery with beautiful handwriting. I was talking to a woman the other day who's got she calls it high voltage coaching. I'm like, you know, I think that your invoices should be bright yellow. I think, you know, like, how can we get more high voltageness into this? You know, being able to really come from the truth of who you are, because when you are putting out a clear, consistent message about the truth of who you are and what you do, you become like the whistle only dogs can hear.
Gotcha.
The people who need you, who vibe with you, will find you.
Yeah.
And more importantly, the people who do not vibe with you will not find you, mm-hmm. because we all know there's nothing more expensive than a bad client.
Right. Exactly.
Right? So when you really start using your own self, your own passions, your own interests, your own personality in your marketing, you become indelible and, in fact, inevitable.
I like that. All right, so here's a really touchy question that I think all creative entrepreneurs struggle with, and that's pricing. What's enough? What's too much? You know, how do I get what I'm worth? How do you figure that out?
So my quickest advice on that is double your prices, offer a money back guarantee.
I love it. There you go.
You know you're going to over deliver.
Right.
You know, so, and the more people pay, the more they'll value it.
Mm-hmm.
The more they will get out of it.
Right, right. Interesting. All right, so where can people find you online, and what are you doing next?
Yeah, well, you can find me at theorganizedartistcompany.com, all the way spelled out, because I'm a spell it out for you kind of a girl.
Yeah.
But you can also, you're going to love this, Desiree.
What?
You can also text the word Get It Done Book, all one word, Get It Done Book, to 96,000, and you'll get a free PDF of one of my other books called 365 Reasons to Write, sort of a daily book of inspiration, and it's not just for writers, it's for anybody. And that'll also add you to my emailing list so you can, you know, see what I'm up to.
That's perfect. And we got to give a shout out to Social Fuse for that. Jake,
right?
It's Social Fuse. That's a texting technology that Sam and I both use. And Jake out in San Diego helped create that.
Yeah, Jake's great. So, yeah, I heart Social Fuse for sure.
Me
so
too.
Get It Done Book, text it to 96,000.
Perfect.
And we'll get connected.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Don't go away, but we are going to close out the show, and we've just had a great show. Thank you, all of you, for being with us today. Really appreciate it. It was great. Very
You're
insightful.
Welcome.
Thank you so much
thank
for having me.